Welcome this morning. We're delighted that you're with us here as we celebrate moms on Mother's Day here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 31. Now, when I say Proverbs 31, probably across the room, there's a sense, you know, kind of a sentiment of a groan. Oh, no, he's going to bring that book out again. And he's going to measure us up. I'm going to show you some things this morning that most of you probably have never thought of. You have never seen before out of this portion of Scripture, out of Proverbs 31. Hence, I have titled my message this morning, Proverbs 31, Men or Man. We often hear Proverbs 31, Women. We're going to talk this morning about what is the essence, what is the focal point of this proverb, Proverbs 31. Listen what it says. Who can find a victorious or virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her. She will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of his life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for the servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Now, who wouldn't want to be a talented, productive, strong, caring, fearless woman like we've just read about? But as normal human beings, many of us are more likely to cringe when this seemingly perfect woman is set before us as the example for life. Who can find one like her is what Solomon asks, and he asks the question more than once. Not everyone has a business sense or has had the opportunities in business like this lady. Many do not have the gifts, the time, or the creativity to make clothing for their entire family like this woman. I'm not sure if I've ever met anyone who is both a morning person and a night person at the same time. Usually either a morning person or a night person, but this one gets up early, early in the morning and goes to bed late, late at night, always caring for her family. Proverbs 31 has been a source of a lot of guilt over the years to many women. Husbands and children, they oftentimes become critical of those who do not live up to this perfect Proverbs 31 woman. Mothers often feel guilty because they are unable to reach the standard of perfection that is set out in this proverb. Now, if reading Proverbs 31 makes you feel guilty for not being like her, it's possible you're misunderstanding what God's word is actually saying in Proverbs 31. You see, part of the confusion that is in the lives and minds of many today over this proverb might be the present tense verbs in our English translation. You see, in the original Hebrew language, the verbs in Proverbs 31 are in the past tense. You see, present tense might suggest that one woman does all of these things in all of the seasons of her life. But in past tense, it indicates that these verses are summarizing the fruitful life of a woman over an entire lifetime. They highlight the faithful things that she did at various times throughout her entire lifetime. Consequently, ladies, I want you to breathe easy this morning. You can give that sigh of relief. You can shake off any guilt. The intent of these verses is to celebrate and to appreciate the positive impact and contribution that mothers have on their husbands and on their families. As we seek now to uncover the true meaning of Proverbs 31, we discover that these verses are written in what is a complicated Hebrew poem. It is actually from verse 10 to verse 31, it's all written in a poetic structure. These verses 10 through 31 are written in what is called an acrostic. I think most of us remember doing an acrostic at one time or another, either in grade school or in high school. But acrostics are well known to all of us. Let me put up a simple one for you so you kind of get an idea of what this whole chapter is about. Let's take the word mother, and then we're going to make an acrostic out of it. And you've all done something similar to this. Magical, outstanding beauty, tremendous teacher. H is for helpful, E is for extraordinary, R, reliable, rich with love. Now this was written by a third grader. And this third grader took this acrostic and took mother and said, from the word mother, I'm going to take and I'm going to spell out what mom means to me, what mother means to me. Magical, outstanding in beauty, and tremendous teacher, helpful, extraordinary and reliable, and rich with love. Now, every single verse, listen to this, every single verse in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 10 through 31, begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are used in this amazing acrostic that we find here in Proverbs 31. Now, the author is not building an argument regarding the role or the conduct of a woman like the Apostle Paul does out of necessity in the book of Corinthians. The author here instead is praising the impact of his wife and this woman's impact upon him and over his family over the many years that they've been together. Now, to accomplish this, he lists 22 praiseworthy things about her. Now, as we look at that list one more time, I want you to remember these attributes are describing a particular woman. Now, I am so blessed with the wife I have. And I've been blessed by the mother that God gave me for many years of my life. However, it is unfair to take Proverbs 31 and make that the template in which we force it upon one other single individual. So these attributes are describing a particular woman. And the aim of these verses is not to provide some kind of a checklist for women and for mothers. Some use Proverbs 31 as a checklist. Doing okay there, honey? Oh, you need to work there. Let me just say, you say that on Mother's Day and you're about to get a cake in the face, all right? So be very cautious. And to use this as some kind of a checklist, that is not what was intended or what was meant. Proverbs 31 beautifully captures a particular man bragging about the characteristics of his wife. And to that end, the author then writes this poem, and he writes it in an acrostic, using all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now think, if you were to take the 26 letters of the English alphabet, and if you were to take and say, on Mother's Day, I'm going to start with A and I'm going to go all the way through. Think about how difficult some of those letters may be. And in this particular case, Solomon, believed to be the author here, he's actually taking all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and he is going to give an attribute as it relates to his wife and to this mother. But now, friends, there is more than an acrostic here. As amazing as this acrostic is, there is something else, and it's called a chiasm. Chiasm, and this chiasm is this. It's a common literary form found often throughout the pages of the Old Testament. A chiasm is a series of parallel phrases. The literary movement proceeds in one direction until it reaches a center point, and then it reverses and it goes off in a different direction, focusing then our attention on the center phrase, which is the heart and the most important part of the message. Now, I realize I probably just lost half of the house. You're probably saying, what in the world are you talking about? Let me illustrate it. It's best illustrated. You'll find that as you go through Scripture in the New Testament, the book of John often uses this same chiasm as a form of teaching. You'll find all throughout the Old Testament. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, they all break into a marvelous chiasm, and you'll find, once again, in this portion of Scripture, it is filled here with a truth that Solomon is hiding in some ways to the English reader, but was fully known and understood by the Hebrew writers and the Hebrew readers. Let's take a look at it. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10, reading through verse 31. It starts out with A, which would be high value of a good wife. That's in verse 10. It is followed up with husband is benefited by his wife and her lifestyle. It goes to wife works hard. D, wife gives to the poor. E, no fear of snow, meaning that we prepared for winter. My children have winter clothing. F, children clothed in scarlet. They're dressed well. The community looks at them and says they're doing well. They're fine. They're good. G, covering for bed, literally making the bed, you know, covers, as well as the wife wears fine linen. Now notice there, we come to the middle. And in the middle here, this is where a chiasm comes in a form of like an X. It begins to go one direction and then suddenly it goes in another. And that which is in the middle, the breaking point, that is the key to every understanding of a chiasm within Scripture. If you miss out on that, you will read Proverbs 31 and you will focus on the wrong thing. If you read this wrong in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll once again be focusing on the wrong thing. And as you read this in John, you'll once again, you'll find yourself going down the wrong road, confused as to what John is truly saying. You know, John F. Kennedy, he was a master at these chiasms. He was one that would say, and you know these words, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Notice how it starts in one direction and then it shoots off in another. And it's at the focal point where this takes place, where the truth is and the highest truth to be understood. John F. Kennedy said this. He said, let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Notice how it starts in one direction, then shoots off in another. So we've come down, let's put it back on the screen there once again. We've come to H. H now is in the center. This is where it crosses over. In medicine, they use this same term to understand how the nerves from the eyes cross over left to right as they attach to the brain. And so this whole concept is there's a center point, there is a key thought, and this key thought is right here in the middle, public respect for her husband. All of this leads up to it. Now let's see what follows right after. And you'll see, once again, it's the same kind of truths, but told in reverse order. Right after it, sells garments and sashes, verse 24. Wife is clothed in dignity, verse 25. The last part of verse 25, there's no fear of the future. Wife speaks wisdom, verse 26. Wife works hard, verse 27. Husband and children, they praise wife, verses 28 and 29. And it summarizes, comes to the end there, the high value of a good wife. So anytime you want to understand what is the heart of a chiasm, you come to this point, the intersection, the crossing of the two lines, and in this case, it is the respect for her husband. Here's what he's saying. Solomon, as he writes, and he talks about all these qualities, he says this, all of these qualities of my wife, all of these qualities of my mother, all of these have made me the man that I am today. Apart from this, I would not be what I am. And notice it says he sits at the city gates, which was a common thing for the wise and for those that had high position in that time. They would sit by the city gates, and as people would come and go, they would converse with them and have conversations with them about deep and meaningful things. And it was not everyone's privilege to be able to sit at the city gate. And so Solomon is saying, because of my wife, because of my mother, because of the way they poured into me, because of all they taught me to be kind to the poor, they taught me how to live life out, all of this, because of that, I am what I am today. Now you want to take careful note then of the central focus that is found in verse 23, in which he is declaring the impact and the contribution of this woman has blessed both her husband and her children. Now this poem breaks the traditional mold when speaking of a wife and of a mother. You see, it does not limit her to the usual domestic household duties, but sees her as a competent person in the house as well as out in the marketplace. Proverbs 31 highly lifts and elevates the view of women and their many contributions to the family, but not only to the family, but to the entire community. We find a good example of this in verses 24 to 26. Take a look. And once again, I've changed this, and it's in brackets, so you know exactly the changes made, from present to past. Listen to what he is saying. She made, past tense, belted linen garments and sold sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity were her clothing. And she laughed without fear of the future. When she spoke, her words were wise, and she gave instructions with kindness. You see, throughout this poem, she was an expert in the field of cloth and of clothing. But the main point in this verse is her ability to run a commercial enterprise selling garments, either retail or wholesale, and supplying sashes on a wholesale basis to the merchants throughout the area. So the Bible says she was not only an individual that had capabilities within the home, but she was also one that was out there in the marketplace. And she was capable in so many areas of business and making the sashes, selling the sashes, wholesaling them, retailing them. Now, he is not saying every woman has to do this. He is simply saying in the home in which I was raised and the wife that I have, they are very comfortable in these dual roles. And so he's elevating. He's saying she is more than just a domestic household slave, but she is one that is capable at home. Our home has her fingerprints all over it, but so does the marketplace. Now he also goes on to say she was strong. There are many kinds of strength that we all know. In verse 17, we discover that her arms, the Bible says, were strong. And I often think when, you know, strong in that sense, she was probably strong from raising a bunch of dumbbells. That's certainly true of my mother. 11 little dumbbells and lifting them all the time. Verse 17, we discovered that her arms were strong. But in verse 25, her greater strength is declared as coming from her spiritual qualities. And her spiritual qualities were wisdom. She knew what to do, how to do it, and was based upon God's word. So her greater strength came from her spiritual qualities of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and of dignity. The Bible says she wore these virtues like clothing. And wherever she went, these spiritual qualities were visible to those about her, as visible as her physical clothing. You see, today we take and, you know, we know what's in the marketplace, what's hot and what is not. I mean, we know all the brands. And so you might say what he is comparing here, he is saying she wears some of the finest of clothing. In this case, she made them herself. But we might say today she bought the best of the best, the finest, you know, designer clothing. She had the best jewelry. She had the best shoes on her feet. But that was not her covering. Her covering was everywhere she went, there was a greater beauty, and was a beauty that came from the inside out. And this was the beauty of a woman that had a relationship with God. He says, natural beauty is for a moment, it is fleeting. But the inner beauty that he is talking about and bragging about in his mate is one that literally she wore, and everywhere she went, they could see there's more to her than designer clothing. There's more than the style of her hand purse. This is a woman that fears God, a woman of dignity, and a person of great character. And the Bible says she laughed without fear of the future. You know, most of us are apprehensive about some part of the future. And the reason for it is because we are uncertain about what may be lying ahead in the economy. Whether it's an illness, an accident, or a thousand other unknowns. However, this woman faces the future, and she faces it unafraid because her hope is in God. She laughs without fear at the future. She does not cringe. She does not run. She's not naive about what's coming. It's not naivety. But rather, she knows what is coming, and she laughs because God has promised to help her whenever she needs it in any situation of life. And so she was not going to waste one moment of any day worrying and fretting. And what he is bragging about, he is saying, you know, when I come home at the end of the day, I don't come home to someone that's biting their nails and all concerned about the future and all, you know, just ready to throw in the towel and to give up. He said, this woman, when I come home, she is fearless. She has faced whatever she had to face throughout the day. She has dealt with it all. She has been in the marketplace. She has done business. She has kept the house. She has done all. She is one of these, one of a trillion. And he is simply saying here that we have been the beneficiary. Remember now, the center line there, the beneficiary, her husband, her children, her friends, her business associates, and the members of the community at large. It's no wonder then that her husband writes this wonderful and intricate poem to honor her. Let me just encourage you. Dad, take the kids aside today and even do one for yourself. Make an acrostic. Take your wife's name and just begin to list alongside of every letter, some unique character quality that she has, that she brings to your home. And I promise you, when you begin to share that, there won't be a dry eye in the house, because you are now doing what Proverbs 31 is all about. You're now becoming a Proverbs 31 man, and you're leading your family. You're treasuring your wife. You're creating a culture that allows her to flourish at home and outside of the home. You're an encourager that she knows that she has someone that's backing her and standing alongside of her. You see, Proverbs 31 is not some kind of a checklist for the women, but rather it's a checklist for us guys, for us sons and daughters as we think of our mother. And I would encourage you today, understand that God has given to you a gift, and that gift is in your wife, gift is in your mother. And take the time today, do a simple acrostic on your own. If you can't, you know, come up with anything there, I mean, at least you can do is just sit down, look them in the eye and say, listen, let me tell you what you mean to me. You know, Solomon can do this. I can do it. I can let you know what a difference you've made. And Mom, I want you to understand, your influence over your family is absolutely unparalleled. And everything you do for the sake of your family and the sake of your husband, whether big or small, has a positive impact upon their lives. Mom, we want you to know today, everything you do, we recognize who you are, you're highly valued, and your contribution is beyond measure in all of our hearts and our lives. Last night, as I was thinking about the message and praying for today, I couldn't, of course, help but think of my mom. My mother, as you all know, she passed away at the age of 100. 100. Passed away 2 years ago. I watched as my wife was making out the card for her mother. And I thought, I miss that. I miss those moments where I can make a phone call and send off a corsage that she can wear on Sunday morning to church, that I can write a note. You know, life, as we've seen, it all goes so fast. Don't let the moment pass by. Don't allow the day to go by. Matter of fact, better yet, don't let any day go by that you don't let each other know how much you love each other. Take a moment, embrace each other. Take a moment and hold hands and pray together. Don't let a day go by. Solomon, he's saying, you know, all of these characteristics, these are not a checklist, one more time. These are the particular attributes of the woman and the women that have shaped my life. And I have been the benefactor. Therefore, I'm going to be a Proverbs 31 man.